Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Twisted Tales with Faith
and Lisa.
And we are going into Artist Tool Part 2.
Artist Tool is a tool. Part 2.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. He's a tool. If you haven't listened to Part 1, you probably want to go back and click that.
I would.
I mean, I wouldn't, but half the things that make fun of Lisa for in this episode won't make sense unless you get the references.
That's
on her
a really
rapping.
Good point, yeah.
You will not understand why we are making fun of her as much as we do.
All right, and if I accidentally slip up and say Otis again, it's only because I can't read. I'm from Tennessee, and
Reading is hard for her.
It's a southern edumacation. That's a lot.
No more preamble. You left us on a cliffhanger.
I did.
Part 2, let's go.
All right, so in the last podcast, I told you guys
that a horrible
the police
story.
From all corners of the United States came to talk to Otis to find out who, if he was responsible for some
AKA
of their
closing
unsolved
cases.
Yep. And one particular department from Florida had come to talk with Otis about their cold cases.
Okay. What part of Florida?
We'll get there.
Okay.
So after the interview, the cops packed up their things. They're getting ready to leave.
And just a preference, I should have done this at the beginning.
Go ahead.
If you didn't listen to part one, pause now and go. But if you don't want to and you want to listen to part two first, Lisa explained that this episode came from a rabbit hole she fell down into.
Yes.
Because she gave us the whole Otis Tool story.
I did.
And then...
Well, I guess childhood, right? Yeah. And then I kind of skipped through and was like, oh, yeah, he got arrested, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but she, at the end, gave us a little cliffhanger on this one, which she has reluctantly told us because she keeps telling me how horrible it is and how much I'm going to hate her. But, so it was a rabbit hole she fell into. I feel like that's important to say.
Yeah, you definitely, it's
you're
definitely
not get
a rabbit
the whole
hole.
Otis Tool story on this
And we'll
episode.
Just go ahead and throw out, like, a trigger warning to just say, like, what's coming next.
There's always a trigger in the show. If you've got
There's,
triggers,
yeah.
just proceed with
yeah,
caution.
Proceed, yeah, I would agree 100%.
Okay, right, continue.
So,
where was that in Florida that they...
I told you, we'll get there.
Dang it.
Yeah, you're not going to throw me off my game. Not tonight.
Trying to
right.
trick you.
So, the cops packing up their stuff, they're trying to leave, and Otis started laughing and said,
That's
are you
scary.
Not going to ask me about the little boy?
Oh, no.
Big question mark.
No, I don't want to hear, bye-bye, sir.
July 27th, 1981.
Oh, no.
Revae Walsh took her son, Adam, to a local Sears in Hollywood, Florida, where she was looking for lamps. Adam, 6 at the time, saw a new video game display. And as we know, this is 1981. It was still new. Right?
Yeah.
So video games were like the shiz, right?
Well, they still are, apparently.
So
but yeah.
Adam asked his mom, like any other kid would.
Can I go play?
Yep. Can I go to this the display? And watched the kids play this game. Revae looked around, saw that the game was no more than a couple aisles away from where she was going to be anyway. And so she decided it'd be all right if Adam stayed.
No.
Well, she trusted her son, knew that he was obedient, and always did what he was told. So when
it's
she
so
said to him, stay right here at the game until she finished buying the lamp that she wanted. She wasn't far away from Adam. In fact, she could hear the video games going, so she knew he was still there. It wasn't, I think it was less than 10 minutes, and she went to get Adam to leave.
And he's not there.
And he wasn't there. Panic set in immediately for Revae. Yeah. She ran to the security guard, who told her to, you know, just have the kid paged, but he never came to the desk. She called her husband, John, and told him what was going on. He was there in minutes. The cops were called. They proceeded to tell the Walshes that Adam will show up soon. Everything's fine. He probably just wandered off.
And that pisses me off.
I know. Trust me, I know. Reva and John searched the mall themselves. Sorry, but never found Adam. At that time, missing children were treated like missing adults. It wasn't until 24 to 48 hours after they disappeared where
he's sick.
They would start taking it seriously.
He's sick.
But again, back then. Not the same as it is.
He's six.
I know.
So
like I said, they roamed around the mall. They were trying to find him. There was nothing. After 24 hours, It wasn't even 24 hours. Rivas and John just did it themselves. Riva and Rive. Wow, you're right. I can't read. Okay. Rive and John just did it themselves. John had his friends and his neighbors that he called and asked them to help search around the area for Adam, where he was last seen.
Gosh, they did it. The entire freaking community came out.
Yeah. The entire day into the night, they looked for him. Rive refused to drive her car out of the parking lot where she had parked.
Get me out of the mall. Try me.
Not even close, dude. Yeah. But she refused to move her car out of the parking spot that they had been in just in case Adam came back. And so John went home, got pillows, because I said it went into the night. So John, his dad, went to the house, got some pillows and blankets, tossed them into the car, left the car open, and wrote a note for his son and left it on the windshield that said, "Stay in the car. Mommy and daddy are looking for you." The next morning.
That is heartbreaking.
Oh, I know. I couldn't even imagine.
No.
No.
Well, it makes me already.
Makes me squeeze Caleb a little bit more, you know? Anyways, so like I said, they had the search party in. They left the car with the note. They went to the car the next morning, but Adam was still not there. John and his friends continued to search, but found nothing. They left that car in the same parking lot, in the same parking spot that they could as long as they could. But Adam never turned up. At this point, the biggest police search in Florida at the time was being assembled. Cops that were off duty, not being paid, were out looking. John suggested that they started making missing persons posters and start hanging them up like everywhere. No one at that time had ever done that before. So in 1981, the first missing person poster was created by John Walsh and hung everywhere, including airlines, just in case somebody was trying to take Adam out of the state.
Jeez.
John started contacting the national news, the national news networks about Adam.
I just realized who this is.
Chill out.
Just realized who this is.
Calm down.
I knew it sounded familiar.
Oh, yeah. This is how I fell down the rabbit hole because
I didn't know the backstory. Like, I knew, like, the bare minimum of his backstory.
Oh, you just wait.
But I didn't realize, like, I just clicked who this was.
Yeah. Just wait.
I've been thinking, why is it sounding so familiar?
I guarantee you didn't know the half.
No, I just know his son was killed.
That is why the rabbit hole got deeper and deeper.
Yeah, I just know his son got killed, and that's how he started what he started. I mean, everybody knows who it is at this point. I'm probably the last person that's like, I know who it is. Gosh, I'm stupid.
All right. So John started contacting local news stations and all the major networks about Adam, and they all said the same thing. If we do it for Adam, we'd have to do it for everyone else. So pause. What?
You'd have to actually help find missing children?
What? Major news networks. All of them.
You're shocked.
All the major ones.
How they kept the story of Jeffrey Epstein on lockdown for how many years?
Oh,
not letting people tell it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying that I'm shocked, but like, dude. No, because if we do it for you, we have to do it for everybody. I am not asking for extra cheese on a hamburger, okay?
I'm asking. Position of power to help the people who need it. This position of power is to make us money and give us power.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your sad story about your missing son. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Douche.
In a nutshell.
Oh my God.
I know. Dude, I was pissed. So, all right. The Walshes were actually investing their own money into making all of the flyers, doing everything that they were doing, but they started running low, obviously, right? It's not cheap doing what you do.
No, because neither of them are probably working 40 hours a day either
obviously. No.
So there's no new income. You're going through savings, retirement, everything, which would too, so yeah. I'll be homeless after this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So 2 weeks after Adam disappeared, Good Morning America contacted the Walshes and wanted to tell their story.
Oh, well, thank you.
Both John and Rive were, like, beyond ecstatic. They could finally tell their story and get it out to all of America to keep an eye out for their son. They got to New York, and just a little bit before the show was about to start and they were about to get interviewed, John got a call from a friend back home in Florida asking John if he had Adam's dental records. John asked why,
Oh, that's not the question. And very,
very reluctantly, his friend told him that a young boy's head had been found in a canal 100 miles away from where Adam was taken.
Oh, no.
John got the information.
Even knowing that his son died, like, I know the end. But...
No, but listen. So,
oh, that's gut-wrenching.
John got the information to his friend, but didn't believe what he was saying. With, like, would you?
No, you've got to help.
And
it,
like,
hope.
In his mind, there's no way that his son's head was found.
He's only been gone, like, what, a month?
In a canal. This was, hold on one second. Let me pull back one page. I think it was 2 weeks. Yeah, it was 2 weeks after he disappeared that Good Morning America had contacted him.
God.
So there was just no way that he could believe that his son was.
In that situation, you can't let yourself even fathom that that could be true.
No.
How do you even stay
and
together?
How would it be in a canal 100 miles away from where the boy was?
Well, it's been two weeks, but yeah.
No, I know that, but like still, it's no parent is going to.
You're just
think,
not, you can't
just
connect
no
those
way.
Dots
no.
In your head. You have to believe that's someone else's kid.
So John composed himself and went on with the interview. A few hours after the interview, John's friend contacted him again and confirmed to John that the decapitated head that they found in the canal was, in fact, Adam's.
God, that sucks so bad.
So I had watched this thing, and John Walsh himself was actually talking about it. He was like, I lost my mind.
Yeah.
Like, I broke everything in that hotel room. I was throwing stuff. I was shattering stuff. Anything that I could put my hands on, I, like, destroyed. They called the cops. They
the
called,
hotel did?
Yeah, they called the cops. They called they called doctors in because they knew what was happening. And now, like, this man, this dad,
he's
just found
insanity,
out.
Yeah,
sorry, just found out that his boy is gone.
Yeah.
Like, everything that he has done for this has been
for nothing. Not
so. Like I said, he lost his mind. The doctors ended up giving him a shot just to calm him down.
Yeah,
and so the officers and doctors and stuff on the scene.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Asked him where Reve was. And they were like, you know, we need to tell her, like, what's happening.
Oh,
and
his wife doesn't even know yet.
Not yet, no.
Oh, and so he was by himself when he found out.
So he basically told everybody, like, no, you're not going to say a word to Reve. I have to do this. Like, I have to tell her.
Yeah, she doesn't want to hear it from a stranger.
So the Walshes held a funeral for Adam, and hundreds of people to pay their respects, and they didn't even know the majority of them. It was just the community.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, at this point, all these people are invested.
Yeah.
Good Morning America has probably aired only to say at the end
that the boy's head was found.
Yeah. The community came out and helped search. Like,
That's that small town vibe.
Yeah.
That people talk about where the community just comes together.
Yeah.
And that happens everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everywhere.
Even today.
So.
Oh.
The thing is that the only part of Adam that was ever found was his head. His body was never found. And so the Walshes had to bury an empty casket because Adam's head was evidence.
That's awful.
So the police got busy trying to find the killer. And
you
so
can't even go visit the remains.
Yeah, there's like nothing there.
Like, you, when you go, you know there's just dirt. Which, I mean, eventually there is anyway, and I get that. But just to know, every time you see that tombstone, your baby's still not it.
Yeah, and that's every person. And I know everybody always says, oh, give them a Christian burial. It has nothing to do with that. It's not just a Christian ritual. It's that's an everybody ritual.
It's a resting place.
Yeah.
That's why they're called that.
Yeah. Even when somebody's cremated, you know
where they are.
Yeah.
But
their ashes still remain.
But like, to go there and know this is empty. This isn't a resting place. This is a placeholder.
So
yeah, that sucks.
The police got busy trying to find the killer, obviously. And so naturally the parents were the first to be interrogated. I'm sorry, but it is what course it is for like the individual, but at the same time, like how
Haven't
many cases have
been
we
been through enough?
No. I 100% understand why they would do that.
Yeah, they have to.
How many people do it to their own kid and
100.
Fake sob?
Yep.
That their kid went missing.
I know, but
they
when
don't
it's,
have a choice. No,
you
no. When somebody's
to,
actually
yeah.
innocent, absolutely. Yeah, that sucks.
And do you know how many conspiracy theories there are today that he did it to his own son? You gonna fall down that rabbit hole?
I don't even want to go there.
Oh, it's, yeah. It's angering.
So, anyways, I'm sorry. All right. So, the Hollywood Police Department brought in a specialist from Miami Homicide who conducted polygraph tests. His name was Joe Matthews. Joe cleared both John and Revay from committing the crime against their son. Keep Joe Matthews' name in the back of your head because he's going to come back soon. Okay. All right. There were tips that were coming in from witnesses at the mall who said that they saw this, they saw that.
Yeah, they just want to be a part of the story.
Well, I mean, I'm sure people at that point maybe were just, I saw this. Like, I don't know if it's relevant. I don't know if it's not relevant, but this is what I saw, right?
Yeah.
So one witness said that they saw Adam get pulled into a blue van. Cops took action. They were checking blue vans anytime they saw one, but nothing ever came out of it. Every clue, every tip came up empty. Months turned into years with no new evidence, no new clues, until 1983, when a man named Otis Toole told one of the many detectives who came to talk to him about the crimes that he had committed, said to the Florida native officer, "I thought you were going to ask me about the little boy I killed in Fort Lauderdale."
Mm.
With all of the lies that have already been
spewed by this man,
basically, they pretty much just dismissed the confession. They were like,
"Sure, yeah, you did, buddy.
Bet you did, man, right?"
Yeah.
Guy like Otis, I did it again.
You did.
I mean, just kind of like, again, you saw his picture.
Yeah.
Right? What 6-year old would willingly go with a guy who is, I mean, I'm sorry, but he's creepy.
But here's the deal. On the flip side of that, he is creepy looking, but he also looks like he's got a handicap, right? Let's just.
He looks like he does. I could understand that.
And I've drilled into my kid's head 100 times. We don't make fun of people that have any kind of handicap. Mm-hmm. We help them if they need help. So if you're halfway smart with Otis and he's used to trapping people, he uses that to his advantage with a child. You almost make yourself more approachable because you do look different. And
right.
It puts the kid at ease thinking this is someone that needs help.
I don't know.
Because there's a kid at my daughter's school who's much older than any of the other kids there. But because he's mentally handicapped, he's in the elementary school still.
Yeah.
And we drove up the other morning and Bella like rolled down her window and yelled at him and said, "Hi." And I said, "Are you friends with him?" And she was like, "I try to help him." Mm-hmm. Because he's special and some people make fun of him. So I try to help him. And I was like, "Good girl."
Yeah.
But the kid is much older.
Yeah.
Much older. So while I am saying good girl, on the other hand,
it's a vulnerability.
You gotta still say, you don't need to be alone with that person.
Yeah.
You know, all these things, and you don't want to say it because then you're kind of combating what you've ground into their heads in, we treat everyone with respect and we treat these people better than most because people make fun of them.
Yeah.
So if you've got an adult coming up to a kid acting more maybe disabled than they are, it's a ploy to get that kid at, the kid's automatically going to be more compliant and try to help this person because that's what they've been taught.
Honestly, that's pretty like profound, that's how I, honestly.
Well, you know,
because,
you look mentally,
I mean,
you know you look different. So
yeah.
if you just talk a certain way and, you know, "I need help," the kid's going to be more compliant instead of screaming if you just try to grab them. Personally speaking, I mean,
there's always that question, like, kind of in the back of your head. Like, how
did this happen?
How did no one see anything?
It's a crowded freaking area.
And everybody is consumed with what they're doing. There's no... You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to sound like a dick, but...
A crying toddler being carried out of a mall is not that...
uncommon.
No, that's why I teach my kid. If someone grabs you, you start screaming. "You're not my parent. Someone help me."
You need
to start screaming something. Don't just scream and cry.
Yeah.
Use your words.
Use your words.
"I don't know you. This is not my mom. This is not my dad. I don't know this person.
What's my name?" That's what I always told Caleb. "What is my name? Tell me my name." Scream it. Yell it at the top of your lungs. You need to be specific.
Yes, because if you're
because
just
you know what,
you're just
somebody at
kid.
Some exactly. And if somebody looks at you and you're screaming at the top of your lung, "You're not my dad. You're not my mom. Tell me my name."
Yeah,
that, and you're that's somebody's going to intervene.
Yeah, as opposed to a parent carrying yep. out a bratty kid that you didn't get the newest toy they wanted.
Yeah, always. And I've been telling Caleb that the same thing, man. Like, be specific.
Yeah, you have to use your words. I hate this story already.
I know, I'm sorry. It's not going to get any better.
I know.
So,
cops dismissed
again,
him.
They dismissed it, but Otis brought it up again later on. He gave details of the abduction, where he took him. The police actually took Otis out of jail,
mm-hmm.
and Otis showed him where to go.
Because this is a nationwide known case.
Now, then probably not.
We'd been on Good Morning America at that point.
True, true, but
everybody knew about it at least. Yeah, it was on a national broadcast.
Yeah,
it's not a hometown murder. This has been on national TV.
So they took Otis out of the jail and took him on the road. And Otis was literally leading and directing them where to go.
Oh.
He made him stop off on the side of the road. This is where I killed him. According to Otis, at one point, this was a different resource. So, again, I don't know if it's true. But he said that Adam was crying. Now, I don't disbelieve that. He just got taken from his mom.
Yeah.
In something that he probably thought was just like a nothingness, right? But he was screaming. He was crying. And so Otis punched him in the face to try to get him to shut up.
A six-year-old.
Yeah. So he basically was like, "I got sick of it. I pulled off right here. And I killed him here and used a machete and decapitated him. I left the body where it was at, but I took the head with me and I threw it into the back seat where it landed on the floorboard." Now, there were multiple times where his story changed, Otis, where he was like, "No, I actually drugged the body. No, wait, I buried it. No, I threw it under some leaves. I did this. I did that."
For
whatever.
All his other stories or this story?
This story.
Okay.
This particular story.
Okay.
Because he brought them to where he said he left the body. There was no body. So he would say, "Well, I drug it into the woods. I did this," whatever, whatever.
So this is a national story. Again, we don't know if he actually did it.
So the police actually found Otis's car. They found a machete. They took pictures. They did the whole deal.
Yeah.
But the only place that was accurate was where Adam's head was found. So after all the travels that they had done, Otis pointed out where he tossed the head in the canal. Okay.
Which was a known place because it was a national story.
So
he didn't give any details that could be proven that wasn't on national news.
Turns out actually that there was a movie that had been released about Adam, and the details of where the head was found was seen by the public.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It
was a movie.
Yeah, but after Good Morning America, and they went on to say, ask
no,
for help, and
at
the
that
kid
point,
was found.
No, at that point, I don't know if they... I don't have
I
to go back and look at it. I'm
after,
sure they did a story.
I guarantee that they videotaped the place in the river that head was found since it was a national story. There's no way every single news journalist wasn't out there with a camera.
Yeah.
Because that's
and again,
how they make their money.
Adam's body was never recovered.
To this day?
To this day. Yeah, I know. It's not cute. So Otis wound up recanting a statement about killing Adam.
Of course
he
did.
And based on all of the lies that he had been telling from the beginning. And again, guys, you want to go do your own research about Otis, about Henry, y'all go on and do that. But at this podcast, we always end up talking about the victims more than we talk about the people that murdered them.
Yeah.
And there's always a rare few thing, but I'm just, either way, I'm sorry. All right. So he recanted a statement, and it was concluded that he lied about Adam, too. The lives of the Walshes were literally falling apart at this point. John dove into, like, a huge depression. And John Walsh.
You said John Doe.
No, I said Dove.
Oh, Dove. Okay.
Yeah, like, dove into.
Who's John Doe? Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Sorry.
Of course you got depressed. Because that was their only kid, right? Okay.
No, I think they had three other kids.
It doesn't matter if it's your only kid or not.
Doesn't matter.
Any kid.
Yeah, that was a really dumb thing to say, man.
I know. Well, for some reason, I thought it was their only kid at that time.
No. Anyways, but Reve went the entirely opposite direction. Mm-hmm. She didn't get depressed and fall into all this. She actually opened the first Adam Walsh Center for Missing Children. Eventually, John got involved as well, and they pushed so hard for change that as a result, President Reagan signed the Missing Child Act, and they just kept pushing from there. On February 19th, 1988, a new show aired on cable TV, which you knew exactly where we were going with this.
It took me way too long to figure it out, but yes.
Called America's Most Wanted. John hosted the show, and actually, I found out they just they re-upped it again.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah.
So, anyways, in 1992, a call came in to the tip line about Adam. A man named Lionel Dahmer, who was quoted as saying, "Don't forget that Jeffrey's preference was young boys." Turns out that Jeffrey Dahmer was, in fact, in the area at the time. He worked like 3 miles away from where Adam was taken.
Of course he did.
The job he had provided work vehicles, one of which was a blue van. And I don't remember. I don't know if you.
Yeah, I remember that.
Come back into it. All right. So they were looking for that blue van forever. I had said earlier that that they had searched for that blue van. John begged police to go talk to Dahmer.
Yeah.
Like, was begging them.
Yeah.
They kept telling him no.
Why?
They were not going to talk to him about Adam. That, no. I don't know. Like, I don't. There was no rhyme or reason behind any of it.
What's the point?
I don't see why they wouldn't.
Not
honestly.
For nothing. This guy has a platform to rat you out.
Oh, yeah. So they finally agreed, and they went out to Milwaukee to talk to Jeffrey Dahmer and ask them about Adam. They showed him a picture, and Jeffrey basically was just like, no, he's too young, and that's that.
I mean, at that point, what are you going to do?
This is the guy that found what? I think they found 11 heads in his fridge of decapitated people, right? So, I mean, honestly, like, the MO kind of fits.
But he wouldn't have thrown away the head.
I don't think so. So, honestly, Faith, I could go on and on and on about all the twists and turns about Otis Toole, Henry Lee Lucas, Dahmer, but the only voice that mattered to me was Adam's.
Yeah.
His life brought joy to his family. His death took his family to heights they never could have imagined.
And lows.
From a missing child report line to national TV shows.
To changing legislation.
To presidents. Yep. To changing legislations and creating new laws. Adam's life meant something.
It mattered and it made changes.
And it was amazing. But the question still remains, who killed Adam?
Don't Google that.
So, Joe Matthews. Remember that name?
Yeah, the cop.
He was the one that had to interrogate the Walshes.
Yeah.
And do the polygraph test.
Right.
All right. So, now retired, he ended up coming in back into John Walsh's life. He was hired by America's Most Wanted to research cold cases.
Nice.
So, John and his wife, Reve, asked Joe if they could just meet up and talk and pretty much just asked Joe, like, will you please dive back into Adam's case? And just try to give
now.
Us some answers. Yeah, try to get us some answers. John was like, I promise you, I will do everything I can.
All yeah. Right?
So he went back to Hollywood, Florida, and started making requests for files and all this other stuff. And this time, he wasn't denied any information.
Whereas look at that.
Before,
yeah,
red tape, right? I'm sure. So he found a report from the hotline that was open at that time about a young girl who was approached by what she called a creepy guy in a toy store. Or no, I'm sorry, in an aisle at a store that was, it was the toy aisle, basically. Mm-hmm. He asked her to take a ride with him, and the girl said no and ran to her mother. The girl,
correct response.
Now 14 years old, I think she was 11 when it first happened.
Yeah.
Okay. She told her mom about it, but 14, now she sees a picture of Otis Toole in the paper and began to scream at her mother
Yeah.
And was like, that's the guy.
That's him.
That was the guy that tried to get me to go for a ride. So they called the tip line. Turns out the police never even followed up on the claim.
Of course not.
The information she would have given would have placed Otis, in the same area that Adam had been taken. There was a report that the same security guard that Reve went to at the beginning
mm-hmm.
to ask about Adam,
mm-hmm.
and she told him her to page have Adam page.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that she kicked Adam and the other kids out of the store earlier for fighting over the game.
Shame on you.
And so, like,
he's six.
I was just gonna say, man.
How like, you what kick are you? What is wrong with you? 6 year old out
like,
of
would
the
you
store?
Not page the mother of all of those children? Teens or not? Page
he
the
was
moms
six.
And
he
say,
wasn't a
hey.
Teenager. You're gonna kick them out?
No,
and then
I know
the
that.
Mom's freaking
other
out.
Kids that were with
you're
them,
not
what
gonna
I'm
say I kicked him out. You're just gonna say page him. You know you kicked him out. Paging's not gonna help. You stupid twat.
Bro, I'm sure probably at that time she wouldn't want to admit to that.
What a piece of crap.
That's what I'm
and
saying.
And never came forward and said, this is what happened that day.
It was buried in a report somewhere. She probably did tell the cops. Cops felt no need to investigate it, I guess.
What?
I don't know. But I'm just saying, just in that, you're in a store, kids are acting rowdy, you kick them out, a six-year-old? You kick them out.
It's a
you
logical
don't say,
decision.
Hey.
What's your mom's name?
Exactly.
Or what's your name?
Yeah.
Can the parent of,
mm-hmm.
oh, shame on you.
I'm sorry. That one triggered me a little bit, right?
Yeah, I think we both.
So Adam walked out the same door that Otis claimed in his confession that that's where he picked him up. A witness came forward in 1991 stating that he saw Adam getting into a car that had a dent in the right rear bumper. But that the child went willingly, like he knew the man. That took Joe down a dark path. He contacted local police for the car. As it happened, the car was searched. Pictures were taken. A machete was found. A blood-soaked carpet was found. But all of it was lost. The car was destroyed. They misplaced the carpet.
Whose car was it? Otis's?
Yeah.
So they had it either, like, investigation and evidence, and it just got thrown away.
I'm sorry. It was misplaced. I know you can't see my quotes, right? But the car itself
mm-hmm.
was actually destroyed.
Yeah, but you're supposed to keep the evidence.
Yeah. So.
Bad words.
Oh, I know. Yeah, there was nothing about this that was pleasing to me as I kept researching. Right? Like, I'm not even kidding you. So they said that there were a lot of pictures that were taken. So Joe got a hold of the place that was keeping the photos, asked if he could have them. And the woman answered the phone and accepted his request, told Joe that he was the first person in 27 years to ask for these pictures.
Good investigation skills.
So now the trigger warning. So at the end of this podcast, I'll give you guys like some of the sites that I use to gather my information.
I'll put them in the links in the
show notes. You can go research it on your own if you want to. I will say that it was devastating with one of the shows that I watched because there are images that got burned into my mind that I
didn't
wish
watch.
I hadn't watched.
Yeah.
All right. So the photos that Joe had to look at were unimaginable. The witness that described the car that he saw Adam get into with a dent was a match to the photos that had been taken of Otis's car. All right. As Joe continued to look through the photos, things got more clear and more gruesome. There were pictures of the luminol that they sprayed to uncover blood, which shines bright blue, right? Mm-hmm. Knowing that's blood. A machete was found with bloodstains.
And if they still had that at this point, they could DNA test it.
According to Otis's original statement, he said that he took Adam's head with him and tossed it into the backseat of the car, where it ended up landing on the floorboard.
Yep, I remember.
The pictures that Joe looked at would scar him for life. He saw a picture that was bright blue with luminol and it very clearly showed the face of Adam Walsh, blood covered on the carpet. None of this evidence was ever looked at by the original detectives.
Why not?
Who knows? Otis Toole died in prison in 1996, 10 years before all the evidence came to light. Or 10 years after, I'm sorry. After all the evidence came to light. And Joe had put together the entire picture of what actually happened to Adam. 27 years after Adam's death, the Hollywood, Florida Police Department issued a statement of apology to the Walsh family.
That makes it better.
For missing the evidence and trying to cover their own tracks, they accepted responsibility for the mishandling of information and evidence. And in 2008, Adam Walsh's case was finally closed. Otis Toole died in jail before his execution. He was never convicted of killing Adam. He claimed to have killed Adam and then denied it. And as it all came to light, it was found that Otis did, in fact, kill Adam. The only part of any of this that Adam's lost life was never in vain.
Oh, I was going to say, if they had caught Otis from the beginning, though, the Walshes might not have pushed so hard.
One crazy man turned a husband and a wife into soldiers for the lost, the deceased, and the abused. National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Code Adam. You can find the page by searching Code Adam or missingkids.org. They also accept donations if you feel led inclined to do so.
But, you know, if they hadn't discounted Otis's confession and then brushed it off because the story's changed, the Walshes might have just mourned, but they'd have had their answers. They wouldn't have had to push so hard for answers, and it wouldn't have taken him down this road. So who knows how long until legislation changed and hotlines and tip lines and all this that came about. Because you're just mourning your child. You're not, you know what I mean? Like, you're not fighting for answers and turning over every single thing you can. So while I hate that they had to wait 26 years to find out what happened to their kid,
what they've done in those 27 years has been
life-changing.
Yeah, monumental, for sure.
So, all of that.
And, like, can I tell you, though? Like, I was going to do the whole episode on Otis, and then when I fell down that rabbit hole, it's like, fuck Otis.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know, I get it. Like, he had a bad childhood. I get all this, but man.
It does not justify what you did.
6 years old, bro. Six. I can't fathom shit like that. And then, like, all the stuff that I've been seeing on TikTok lately with these kids that are going missing. There was one little girl that was in Texas. They still haven't found her yet.
Yeah.
The Sumner case that's here in Tennessee. Still haven't found her. Right?
Hear about that case where the mom sold her, like, 4-year-old to all those drug dealers and they basically raped her to death?
No.
I think she was three. She was two, three, or four. And they raped her to death. Like 5 grown men. So this woman could get drugs or whatever. It's been in like the past month.
And I saw a story, again, the case is actually going on right now, I think, where the dad like beat the girl to death.
Yeah.
Folded her, put her in a friggin' bag.
It is.
Dude, come on. It's despicable. So, whatever. I don't even know what to say anymore. Like, I don't.
Nope, I'm going to lay back on it's my like couch a, for the rest of the day.
The future of humanity is bleak.
Yeah.
And I told you guys that I would give some sights on where I got some of my information. If you want to go look back into it, go for it. You know, if not, I wouldn't. So, Serial Killers on Spotify, that's literally what it's called, Serial Killers. They have a part one, part two of Otis Toole. They also have...
You can probably just go on Spotify and search Otis Toole podcast and you'll get a list.
And Serial Killers will pop up. They actually have one, too, about Henry Lee Lucas. Cold Blood, Season 4, Episode 10. And to be quite honest with you, YouTube. If you just search
there's
Otis Toole interviews, Netflix has The Confession Killer that was mostly about Henry.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, there's probably a few more, but honestly, I got I got tired of
seeing all and hearing it.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can put that in your head.
I'm just going to throw out the friggin' trigger warning because the Cold Blood Season 4, Episode 10 actually shows the luminol picture of Adam's face on the carpet.
You can clearly see the face.
And
and it was there the whole time.
The whole time. Honestly, like, I fucking hate myself for even...
But, you know, again, if people had done their jobs appropriately... And he had been found, they would have just been two quote-unquote normal grieving parents.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have dedicated their lives and helped so many people.
Yeah.
Which pisses me off even more if you get into some of, like, the deep conspiracy theories. It's that John Walsh did it to his son so he could get fame. So he could make this show.
No.
Like, that's the biggest one. Because I've seen that multiple times on...
There was so much speculation over the crap that Otis had said in some of his confessions about he was part of a satanic cult. That
none of that justifies
they
it.
They called themselves this and that, and I'm just saying, I'm like, how?
And that makes it okay?
Believe? No. That's what I'm saying. Like, there are so many what you said conspiracy theories.
Right.
You don't know what people is saying is true. You
true.
Don't know what's a lie.
Correct.
None of us are ever going to know. And that's what bothers me the most.
I think we can all pretty much agree that it was Otis Toole.
It was. It was no doubt in my mind.
Especially if you can see the face. Like,
yeah.
I think he was probably below average intelligence. He was abused mentally and physically from a very, very early age. And I think he probably did go on a... pillaging, raping, killing years worth. It started when he was, 14? Mm-hmm. He started killing when he was 14. You think he can keep all the lives he took straight and all the details straight? He can't. And then when he tries to tell you what happened when he... Because the first story he told of Adam Walsh was more than likely true, but because they couldn't find the body, they're pressing him. So he's like, well, maybe it was this one. And he's changing details. Yeah. Of all his different, because it's not straight in his head anymore. You can't tell me his head is a good place to be in.
Right.
So he's meshing stories together, but he tried to tell you the truth. You just didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And you didn't look at the evidence you had that backed it up.
But I think a lot of it, too, wasn't just that he was confessing to this. It's that he had confessed to
so much.
And it was, they were just like, you know what, buddy? Just shut up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're done. We're done with your fame crap. We're done with all of it, right?
We're not giving you any more 15 minutes.
Yeah. And it sucks because you don't know. Like, and you're not going to know.
No.
Now, I do believe 100% that Otis took Adam's life. And for me as a human, talking about this case and talking about a six-year-old who was decapitated and shit like that, Faith.
I'm out.
I'm serious. Like, go right back to what we were talking about earlier. If you see something, say something. Watch your surroundings. Look around you and just be present.
Mm-hmm.
Get off your phone. Just be present.
Right? Well.
When you ask me to do Henry's story, I will at some point, but not anytime soon. I need a break from these two. Okay?
Yeah.
Because keep in mind, Otis left because Henry took his niece.
Was involved,
that he knew. So who knew what he did in a fit of rage? And, jeez. Anyway, I'm sorry. I told you this story was going to suck, but you know what?
I am
very happy that I told a story like that because we always do the same kind of thing when it came to our podcast. From the very beginning, we always talk about the victim.
Yeah.
And not trying to give too much light to the people who committed them.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
I don't want to play anymore.
I know.
I want to get my things and go to a new sandbox.
You're going to take your ball, go home, Faith.
Yeah, I'm going to make a blanket fort and coloring the rest of the day, unicorns and rainbows.
I'm sorry.
I am emotionally some kind of way. It's not kosher.
You act like you haven't done the same thing to me.
I don't care what I do it to you.
Freaking train guy.
Oh.
I cried.
That was a sad one.
Lisa, freaking got emotional.
I don't do that. Horrible.
Okay? Like, oh, you fell, you cut yourself, freaking grow up. Like,
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. Him playing with his little train.
Shut up. Just.
Well.
Anyway. All right, guys.
I hope that you can go do something healthy for your mental state.
Yep.
Bubble bath, walk, punching bag, whatever you need.
Yeah.
And thank you so much, Lisa. I can't believe, like, I heard you talking about the Washes the whole time, and you even said John Wash, and I'm thinking nothing. Yep. And all of a sudden, I was like, whoa!
Well, I mean, because, like, literally, it's just a name until you really start putting it together. Well, wait, John Walsh's son died?
Yeah.
But going into the...
I knew he died, familiar,
but I didn't know it was that horrendous.
Yeah.
Like,
not that any kid dying, but yeah, I knew his son was killed.
And honey, there's a difference between...
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine being a parent and hearing something like that.
No.
And the fact that the two of them took the information they had, didn't fall into a pit of despair, alcohol, freaking whatever. They raised the rest of their three kids, and everybody's good.
And they made a difference. Like,
how they pulled themselves out and made a difference.
I would just be trying to get through each day.
Yeah.
Without breaking down.
Yeah, and without Vicodin.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd have to be like...
Some kind of painkillers. Yeah.
All right, well...
I'm sorry, guys.
There's part two of Otis Tool, the tool.
Otis.
Tool. Otis.
Is a tool.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Have a good night.
Talk to you guys later.
Peace.
Bye.